The Cuban Revolution has so far stood the test of time, with not only the founder of the revolution dead, but also with communism morphing into a very different concept since the collapse of the Iron Curtain and the fall of the Soviet Union. Yet it is the very revolution that has given Cuba an identity, a brand, with tourists flocking to the island to sample the music, the culture, and of course, embrace a taste of the revolution through the purchase of Che Guevara merchandise as a prime example. Yet for Cuba, the notion of fighting economic sanctions imposed by the U.S., as well as seeing one of its main sources of income dry up due to the COVID-19 pandemic, limited travel to Cuba, and has proven to take its toll on the country. And it's forcing to adapt its business ideology to allow its citizens to gain private wealth. What now remains to be seen is just how successful this plan becomes and whether future relations between Cuba and the U.S. and the rest of the world can bring back much-needed foreign investment into the country. That's about all the time we have on this episode. On behalf of myself, Kevin Tavley, and the whole team here on Economic Divide, stay safe.
In the limelight.
Donald Trump placed his perceived political interest over stopping a pandemic, says Mitchell Zimmerman, author, in an article published under the heading Trumpedemic. The coronavirus death toll reached 500,000 because Trump sabotaged the COVID response. Stay tuned for more. Economy devastated. 1 in 12 Americans sickened. Millions hospitalized. 500,000 dead. As we mourn 500,000 Americans who have died of COVID-19, we should remember that their deaths were not the inevitable results of a pandemic, not unavoidable acts of God. Most of the dead would likely be alive today. Most of the suffering America has endured could have been avoided but for Donald Trump. In Year of the Plague, Trump went from neglect and incompetence to sabotaging the national response, causing massive deaths. A cynical and self-absorbed man, Trump saw lethal contagion only an opportunity for political gain. He calculated that his prospects for re-election would be advanced if it generated political warfare over the difficult steps public health authorities knew were needed. So he called coronavirus a hoax, mobilized his credulous base to go to war against public health officials, and systematically undermined efforts to confront the challenge. Trump understood coronavirus was no hoax. This is deadly stuff, he told journalist Bob Woodward in interviews early on. It's also more deadly than ever your strenuous flus. But Trump opposed actions disruptive of life as usual because he saw a rising stock market as key to re-election and feared that recognizing the crisis would spook the market. So he laid his political fortunes on opposing serious efforts to contain coronavirus and mobilized Republicans to resist precautions. Trump's assistants derailed efforts at outset to limit the exponential spread of the disease. Epidemiology researchers from Columbia University concluded in May 2020, if the country had begun locking down cities and limiting social contact on March 1st, 2 weeks earlier than most people started staying home, the vast majority of the nation's deaths, about 83%, would have been avoided. In a mere 2.5 weeks, from March 18 to the beginning of April, identified COVID-19 cases would leap from 8,500 to 240,000 and deaths from 145 to over 7,000. Tragically, this was only the beginning. Once the disease had spread so widely, reining it in becomes exponentially more difficult. Slowing COVID-19's spread was hindered by long-standing weaknesses in U.S. healthcare system and U.S. threadbare social safety net. The one person own and operate the corporate media. They are doing everything they can to defend the status quo, squash dissent, and protect the wealthy and the powerful. The number of people without health insurance grew in Trump years, practically among people of color and vulnerable groups. And with no national requirements for sick leave, 7 in 10 of the lowest paid workers have no paid sick leave. Millions who contracted COVID-19 were reluctant to quarantine and slow to seek medical care they couldn't afford and risk their jobs. Trump's attacks on undocumented immigrants threatening their status if they use public services also made many reluctant to resort to medical resources specifically intended to safeguard health. The crowded housing where the less well-off residents with health-impairing conditions such as pest, mold, chronic dampness, lead exposure, and inadequate heating exacerbated health risks. And people of color and the poor suffer disproportionately from asthma and other respiratory conditions that make them sitting ducks for COVID-19. All of these pre-existing social and health conditions have made tens of millions more vulnerable to coronavirus and accelerated its spread. Against this backdrop, Donald Trump turned to sabotage. He campaigned against social distancing, mask use, and closures. He convinced Republicans they were defending liberty when they behaved in a manner likely to spread infections, threatened public health officers, and defied public health requirements, inevitably thwarting the recommendations of by doctors, scientists, and public health leaders caused lives to be lost. No other country on earth has had as many coronavirus cases or deaths as the U.S. Combating a pandemic requires that the people of a country accept the need for sacrifice, that they act together, and that they have the support of their government to endure the death of loved ones, serious illness, loss of income, school closures, and limitations on contact with friends, family, and colleagues. It also requires government to recognize that the pandemic cannot be stopped unless the authorities address the reasons for vulnerability of those most afflicted. When instead a president mobilizes as many as 25% or 33% of the population to rebel against the discipline needed to contain the pandemic, it becomes nearly impossible to control the outbreak.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Beep. Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we are going to look at some principles of upbringing children so that the audience gets a detailed description of the matter concerning how to raise their children Islamically. The main source is the book Children in the Quran and Sunnah compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. And today we have in our studio guest speaker Sister Salma Khalfan, who is an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Sister Salma.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for inviting me over.
Thank you so much for being here. So we were discussing in our previous episode on how we should deal with stubbornness in a child. And you had mentioned quite a few things. You told us that you have to tackle the situation in a way that try and show the child reason. Instead of you telling them what to do, they should try and come up with that solution by themselves, by you, you know, using that Socratic method that you told us about. And you also told us about how it's necessary for us to give them freedom and not to interfere in what they're doing a lot.
Especially playing. Yeah. As far as playing is concerned, you should leave them to experience. And even if you feel that they are doing something that you don't want them to do, it's our fault in a way that we have not laid those boundaries properly for them.
Exactly.
So, you know, then it's wrong to interfere after letting them, you know, play in those kind of boundaries. Then another way is that when a child becomes like stubborn and quarrelsome, then first of all, a wise parent will always find the reason behind this. That what's the solution? Well, why is he acting like this in the first place?
Yeah.
Maybe there are other reasons that you know, are covering this stubborn nature of his.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably hunger, lack of blood, you know, lack of proper calcium. So sometimes you see a weak child is very cranky. Why? Because he has less energy to deal with his emotions. So a child, of course, is very small and helpless. So, you know, he'll become cranky in this way and show this stubborn nature that whatever he wants, and you'll see him that cry, you know, he might even cry off to sleep.
Yeah.
And then the parent would realize probably sometimes that
oh,
look,
this was the reason
why. So the wise parent would often first, you know, think that why is the child being stubborn? Maybe it's because of lack of food, lack of sleep. Maybe it's because of lack of play.
Yeah.
Sometimes the child is, you know, cranky because he doesn't have anybody to play with. So that's the time the parent should catch that moment and say that now you need to play and offer him to play and play the right way, of course. How he feels like he should choose the play, and you should play with him a minimum of 30 minutes at least, and it should be continuous a play. Not that, okay, you are in your phone and you are saying, okay, yes, yes, yes to him.
It's true.
You should be like have that continuity. And of course, that's the ideal situation if you do it every day when the child is cranky and stubborn, because that's the best food of the soul for a child. That is the play.
Really,
if it's
true.
Not hunger, or it's not sleep, or it's not some other reason like maybe a pain in the stomach or a sickness or a fever, you know, God forbid.
Exactly.
So,
and yeah, definitely, because at times when a child is cranky and stubborn, we jump to one conclusion that no, they're disturbing right now and they want what they want.
Yeah, and they're stubborn.
Yeah, they're just stubborn.
Yeah.
So,
instead of getting to inside
and trying to find the reason, maybe there is a reason why the child, for instance, is cranky or stubborn or, you know, doesn't know what he wants. So yeah, it's very important that we are able to find the reason. We're just going to take a short break, inshallah, and we'll be back for more on this after the break. Stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear audience, to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Islamic Upbringing. So we were talking about the reasons why children become stubborn and how to tackle these situations. And also you mentioned that if the child becomes quarrelsome, the parents have to find that reason.
Another way to stop the stubbornness of the child is not to reprimand him. Why are you being stubborn? You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam says in this regard that reprimanding a child gives way to the fire of stubbornness.
Oh.
That means it makes him more stubborn.
True.
So instead of that, maybe you can probably just share with him. The way we talked about earlier, that this is what you feel. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. That's true. Even I felt it once upon a time. And you know that
reason out,
talk to them, understand with them, exactly. And the sadness and the stubbornness would even be forgotten in the process, especially if they're as young as 2 years old. As they grow older, of course, they will keep on, you know, and that's when that method works best with, that is, they reason out in and reach to a conclusion which you, yourself as a parent, would like.
Yeah.
You know, but this does work with as small as 4-year-olds also. But, of course, when they are young, it would be best to probably, you know, talk to them, give them affection, and feel that you understand what they're going through, but it's not now the time to do that, you know.
Yeah, very true.
So that's one of the reasons that how you can deal with the stubbornness. Don't scold the child or, you know, punish him or lock him or tell him because you're stubborn, this is what you face now. The child will become more and more stubborn.
Yeah, so the thing is, we think we are trying to cure them while we are doing
worse
even
worse. Now, one other solution is if your child behaves stubbornly and you are unable to fathom the reason for this, then, you know, like try to figure out whether his behavior is because of your own failing.
Mm.
Maybe you are not doing the right things for him, you know, to make him feel that completeness.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're missing out in something. So fill in the gap for that. So we talked about the material needs. So even here we can add the spiritual needs, we can add the emotional needs and the psychological needs. To take him out, for instance, a child if he's just at home, he'll feel, you know, like doing everything at home and get fed up with it.
It's true.
Locked in a room. Probably wouldn't be able to express himself that he wants to go out.
Yeah, they're in need of this kind of outlets. Outside,
yeah, they're in need of outlets. Just as we elders are in need of outlets. And the Holy Prophet also, alayhi salam, said that, you know, like, try to make one part of your day into giving yourself outlets.
Exactly.
As far as going out is concerned, or you know, treating yourself is concerned, making yourself happy is concerned. And Islam really stresses on the fact that we should be nature lovers also. So go out, watch the greenery, you know, even walking in a hadith is mentioned, gives you happiness. Riding gives you happiness.
It's true.
Watching water, going to a pool gives you happiness. So all these things are there in front of us, but sometimes we deprive a child and the child just keeps on thinking one track and then gets stubborn and we blame him or, you know, we blame maybe the genetic makeup of.
And I think I've noticed this myself, that when a child is cranky and grumpy and then when we take them outside and they're, you know, they feel this fresh air, they're, you know, they feel like they can do whatever they want, they can move around, and this kind of thing is so important even for ourselves, and it really affects, definitely.
Yeah, it's a breath of fresh air, it gives you a new energy, and also it makes you have vitality.
Yeah, it's true.
You can think better.
So thank you very much. We're going to take a short break, inshallah, and continue with another topic after the break. Audience, please stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back, dear audience, to IRIB English Radio, and this is Islamic Upbringing. So, another question that we have is, how do we foster and develop independence in a child? Because it is something very important.
That's right, it's extremely important. Because Allah has endowed the human beings with different instincts and feelings that go to make the nature of a person. And some of these instincts are, for example, love, hate, bravery, fear. These are the intrinsic feelings and notions that Allah has endowed every human being for tackling the problems they have in life and to confront the problems they have in life. One of them is also independence. If a child does not have independence from the beginning, then he'll grow up to be a timid person and, you know, like intimidating, fearing what people think, following others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just taken away by the wind. Whatever people do, you know, he should also do the same thing, rather than being completely free to decide himself. And the main basis of this is put when the right and wrong is taught to the child. Then it gives total independence to the child to decide for himself that these are the right things and these are the wrong things, you know.
And also that love and that affection given to the child by the parents, if that is in a correct amount, then the child will always be independent because they feel like they have somebody who is behind them. They always know there is somebody they can turn to. But if that kind of situation is not made, then the child will always feel like they don't have somebody they can turn to, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Now, we see that the religion of Islam gives particular attention to the need of freedom of a child. And this freedom is the same independence that we are talking about.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of traditions that, you know, like enumerate this freedom and independence of a child. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, don't become slave to others. Allah has given birth to you as a free person. So parents want to raise the child to be free, right?
Yeah.
So from the childhood, they should not make the child so much attached to them. And they should teach this independence to the child. Of course, with love, the way you say it.
Yeah.
But teach them in a manner that they should do their things by themselves.
Yeah, it's something very important because it makes the child more confident and more able to do things on their own. And if that is instilled from a young age, then when it grows older, it's going to be much more easier for the child.
Especially when it comes to, for example, providing the basic needs to a child. The child himself or herself would want to do things themselves, but the parents want to take over. For example, if the child is not eating properly, the parents sometimes feel, you know, kind of urge to feed the child because the child is not feeding himself properly, right?
Yeah. So then they feel like, oh, let me help you.
Yeah, let me help you so that you can eat properly. But you see, that food that is eaten unhappily would not even be digested properly. There wouldn't be any proper outcome, you know, fruitful outcome of it. But if that food that the child wants to enjoy himself with his little fingers, experimenting whatever he wants to, you know, whilst eating, dropping about and hardly eating the food, that is more worthwhile than the food that is, you know, by force spoon fed to the child. So it starts as early as that, when the child wants to do things himself. Note, the child would want it himself. He'll push away the hand of the parent because it's a natural instinct that Allah has given everyone to want this independence. A person wants their independence and freedom from childhood. And we should nurture that as they grow older in the little activities that they do.
Exactly. Inshallah. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. Inshallah that we are able to work with our children in this way because it's something that is very important, especially for later on.
Yeah.
And we will continue this, inshallah, in the next episode. Dear audience, thank you very much for joining us on the program. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, farstoday.com. Inshallah, until the next program, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Islam solves all of its problems.
Allah leaves no stone unturned, perfect with no flaws at all, are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here are some thought-provoking words that will surely benefit all of us, as expounded by the first infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, as he used to say when passing by markets. O tradesmen, seek good from God before doing anything else. Seek blessing by dealing with people leniently. Come near to the purchasers. Adorn yourselves with clemency. Avoid swearing. Avoid telling lies. Be away from oppression. Be fair with the oppressed. Do not approach usury. Give a full measure. Weigh things with a right balance. Do not wrong men of their things. And do not act corruptly in the earth, making mischief.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Hello there and welcome to The Light, a unique remnant of bygone days. Archaeologists have found a rare ancient Roman ceremonial carriage outside Pompeii. The carriage was unearthed near the stables of a village just outside the very city. It has four wheels and is made of iron, bronze, and tin. The vehicle is the first of its kind discovered in the area. Italy's culture minister has called it a unique find without any precedent in the country. Pompeii was buried under ash and a volcanic eruption in 79 AD. So far, about two-thirds of the ancient city has been uncovered, I should say. The lights, merriment, and traditional food. That's what China's Lantern Festival has brought to millions of people across the country.
Loneliness can hit anyone at any time, but it becomes severe during the pandemic-like scenario the world is going through. But some Japanese are enjoying the companionship of robots to overcome loneliness as they are unable to meet their loved ones during the coronavirus. The cute singing snowman is called Charlie. He is one among a large number of new generation clever robots being produced in Japan. Manufacturers are making a wide variety of affordable androids as well as robotic pets, and they say their sales are booming. They also say their products have found favor with customers of all ages, not just kids. Studies have shown that therapeutic pets can bring comfort to dementia patients.
Spring is coming, and blossoming flowers are once again creating stunning sceneries across China. Clouds of cherry blossoms have created breathtaking views in Wuhan, a city known for being the birthplace of COVID-19. Inside the city, the main university is one of the best places to enjoy those blossoms, being well known for that among the Chinese. Students are thrilled to enjoy the floral scenery after missing it last year.
As the pandemic has been well brought under control in China so far this year, residents in Wuhan City, as well as students, workers and teachers of the university all come for the flowers and this warm spring.
In other cities, it is the plum flower that attracts a large number of visitors. They say the white-colored blossoms on mountains seem as if it had been snowing. Many of the tourists choose to stay in resorts that offer picturesque views of flowers. Many say they wait for a year so that they can draw a picture of the blossoms.
Police across the globe are using new methods to prevent crime and improve their performance. Now, Pakistani police have come up with an idea to put officers on rollerblades to catch criminals in the commercial hub Karachi. The new armed rollerblading unit is going through rigorous training for over a month with the aim of curbing theft and harassment on the streets. During the training, they were seen carefully balancing on skates while leaping over staircases or lifting their guns. The unit, made up of 10 men and 10 women, would be sent to public places. The chief of the unit says rollerblades make chasing thieves on motorcycles through the city of 20 million much easier.
We felt we needed to come up with some innovative approach to control street crime in Karachi. We analyzed and saw that there are certain spots where crime incidents, say for example mobile snatching, are more frequent. We also saw that criminals use motorcycles that help them run away easily. At times, it is difficult for police teams to chase them from our vehicles.
The unit chief also says that officers would only carry handguns, while in some locations, such as shopping malls, they will not be armed at all. Officers say they can now reach narrow alleys very quickly, where it's usually difficult to go. The rollerblading police are expected to be deployed officially next month.
The coronavirus and related restrictions have forced many businesses to either close or struggle. But some people have found ways to save their jobs and help others to survive the crisis. A top German chef is the one. Peter Frusamer now prepares dishes at a hospital canteen outside Berlin. Frusamer says before accepting the job, he was the head chef at his wife's restaurant. But it was closed due to the pandemic, and he chose to be a hospital cook rather than a jobless man. This German chef says he is happy to find some distraction while working in a hospital kitchen, besides making a contribution to patients' recovery.
I find it frustrating to be here and see the empty tables and the empty restaurant. When I'm at the hospital, I don't notice any of this. For me, the coronavirus crisis doesn't exist at the hospital. Sure, corona is always a topic, but there, I'm at work and I'm busy. But when I come here, I notice what a cut is going through society. That's why I'm happy to have my hospital and to find some distraction. Here in the restaurant, I could actually sit down and start crying.
The hospital staff also seem happy with Frusamer's presence. They say since the arrival of a new chef, they come to eat in the canteen regularly and discover new dishes not eaten before. Frusamer believes the reason health workers and patients love his dishes is that he gives his heart and soul to the food.
Niagara Falls on the U.S.-Canada borders is known for its spectacular timeless beauty, attracting tourists, especially during the summer. But this year's frigid temperature has created another spectacular scene at this natural wonder. Visitors to the New York side of the falls were treated with a remarkable view, as stream falling down the Niagara River is now crusted with ice. A rainbow adds more beauty, leading to the most amazing view of the falls. Every day, dozens of people help each other walk across icy stream to take a closer look at the beauty created by the extreme cold weather. More snowfall, low temperature have been predicted for the coming days, meaning people will have more time to enjoy the place.
For some people, it may take years to build a morning running habit. However, this very special runner seems very impatient in sticking to his daily running routine. The 2-meter-tall ostrich escaped its dwelling to run alongside vehicles on the streets of Beihai, South China. It even tried to keep up with a car's speed by jogging at a very fast pace. The bird's owner says it opened the gates of the farm it stayed in and escaped. He guided the fugitive bird back to the farm by covering his face with a red cloth. The video of the athlete ostrich went viral after its running was caught on traffic cameras.
Iran has inaugurated the Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition according to health protocols. The event is aimed at injecting fresh energy into the tourism industry, which has been badly affected by COVID-19 over the past year. Saman Kujori reports.
Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has been inaugurated according to health protocols announced by the National Headquarters for Coronavirus Control and following the necessary coordination with the relevant agencies in this field. According to organizers, visiting the exhibition in person will be controlled. Only a specific number of people are allowed to visit each day. Officials and experts believe Iran will achieve a tourism boom after the coronavirus outbreak, believing its impact would be temporary and short-lived for a country that ranked the third fastest-growing tourism destination in 2019.
Although we were under sanctions and at the same time corona pandemic badly affected tourism industry across the country, we have developed and completed many projects in the country during this period. We are very optimistic about the future of tourism industry in Iran because we believe good days are around the corner. Iran is a historically and culturally rich country with abundant attractions.
According to the latest data, 8 million tourists visited the Islamic Republic during the first 10 months of the past Iranian calendar year. Iran ranks first globally in terms of the number of handicraft cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council. The number of Iranian craft cities and villages stands at 14, while the second place goes to China, which has only 7 craft cities and villages globally registered.
Handicraft exports from Iran before the coronavirus outbreak reached $146 million in the Persian calendar year, which started in March 2019. Iraq and Persian Gulf littoral countries are among the main target markets for Iranian handicrafts.
Under the 2025 Tourism Vision Plan, the country aims to increase the number of tourist arrivals from 4.8 million in 2014 to 20 million in 2025.
Iran's tourism ministry has proposed travel packages under strict health protocols, with the hope of encouraging people to travel and injecting fresh energy to the tourism industry, especially during the upcoming Nowruz holidays. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
The famous festival marks the final day of the Chinese Lunar New Year celebrations. This year, it fell on Friday. The festival is characterized by a wide range of activities. In eastern China, people make intricate fish lanterns that require exquisite skill to operate. In other parts of the country, celebrators make special buns and shape them like different animals. This year's festivities have brought people joy and lifted their spirits up amid the pandemic.
That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, in faith and humanity, salamun alaikum, and so welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. Today we're going to speak about loving the world in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Manan, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس.
واغبط لنا إحساس أنت هالينا.
Today, Monday, is the 17th of the month of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Isfan, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of the month of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran at the beginning of this episode of today's special, and we'll listen to Surah Al-Qasas, verse 77.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين.
But seek through that which Allah has given you, the home of the hereafter, and yet do not forget your share of the world, and do good as Allah has done good to you, and desire not corruption in the land. Indeed, Allah does not like corruptors.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friend, everybody ought to suffice to his own share in this world and let the rest for hereafter. Wealth and property can become a means for the prosperity in hereafter. This is a fact that every person has a proper limiture of this world. The amount of properties he uses for his body, clothing, and resistance is a definite amount, and the additional ones are never consumed by him. Therefore, one must not forget this fact. Speaking about the reality of the world, the great researcher Allama Majlisi, may Allah keep his soul in safe states, let it be known to you that that which can be deduced from all the verses of the Quran and the traditions in this regard, according to our understanding of them, is that the accursed world is the sum total of all those things that prevent men from obeying Allah and keep him from his love and from seeking the hereafter. Therefore, the world and the hereafter are antithetical to each other. Whatever causes Allah's good pleasure and one's nearness to him belongs to the hereafter, even though apparently it should seem to be a matter of the world, such as the trade, the agriculture, the industry, and the crafts whose purpose is to provide substance for one's family for the sake of obedience to God's command, for spending one's income for charitable purposes and the welfare of the poor and needy, and to avoid dependence on others and beseeching their help.
Thank you.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with seeking worldly pleasures and seeking this world for the sake of this world, for itself, as viewed in Islam. Yet everybody knows and experiences that certainly this world is the most important and significant transitory station for everybody's fate. I mean, fate both in this world and in the world hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given people this kind of liberty and freedom to decide and to make the fate both in this world and in the world hereafter. It was certainly feasible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create men like, for example, a piece of stone, or for example, a plant or an animal. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was certainly able to create men like angels who never commit any sin. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created men in this way that they are, people have been created with two elements, inherent in them. The element of seeking this world and, committing sins or committing crimes, and at the same time, everybody is created with the instinct to do good and to seek the divine pleasure. We find that, according to the Quranic views, that in this world we have the liberty, we have the opportunity to do whatever we wish, and it's up to us to what to choose, whether the right or the wrong, or whether the good or the evil, infidelity versus belief, whether we may do something good or we may do something quite bad.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Listen more about the world and the worldliness, the general aspect of the world. What is it? One of the fundamental principles of the Islamic world outlook is the notion that there is no duality of any kind whatsoever in being. That is, the world of creation is not divisible into two domains of good and evil. That is, it is not true that some existences are good and should have been created, whereas some are evil and ugly and should not have been created. In the view of Islam, the creation of all things is based on goodness, wisdom, and beauty. Accordingly, Islam's condemnation of the world does not apply to the world of creation. The Islamic world outlook rests on the foundation of pure Tawheed and lays great emphasis on the unity of the acting principle. It does not admit the existence of any partner who would share God's sovereignty. Such a world outlook can never be pessimistic.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawma al-qiyamati. Ummati, أمتي يقولها شفعة أنا لها أنا لها.
We continue today's special by one question: how to control our love for this dunya when love of dunya goes too far. Dear brothers and sisters, if you remember, we defined the word dunya in the previous episode of today's special. Now the problem comes in when we make the dunya become the goal and not the means to the ultimate goal. The dunya is a place where we are for a time, and all that is in the dunya should be used for or avoided with the ultimate goal of pleasing Allah in mind. Our goal is not to be as rich or as powerful or as comfortable as we possibly can in this life. This life is just a means to the hereafter, where what we do in the dunya will determine our position with Allah, and Allah knows how we forget the dunya's place in our journey to the hereafter. He says in the Quran chapter 87, "But you prefer the worldly life, while the hereafter is better and more enduring."
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being from flesh and soul. We have two dimensions. We have the physical dimension and we have the spiritual intellectual dimension. Most human beings become excessively attached to this materialistic world. It's a lifelong struggle that we all have. We become attached to superficial things in our lives, to temporary things that do not last. It is a very difficult trial for the human being. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, "You human being, I have created you in dignity and honor. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. I've given you a great status. You the human being, you're greater than the universe, than the mountains, than the heavens, than the earth." Where does Allah indicate that in the Holy Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, "Inna aradna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibali fa abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha." Allah says, "We have offered the heavy trust, the amana, on the heavens, on the earth, on these great mountains, but they could not carry it. They could not handle it. Who was able to handle it? وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. This human being was able to carry it. Why? Because the human being has the capacity. What is that capacity? The intellect. Allah gave you the intellect. Through the intellect you can see right from wrong. You can appreciate the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do goodness out of your own free will. By virtue of having the intellect, we carried that trust, that amana that Allah gave us.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
You heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.